military veterans, and active duty service members. You could become a certified cyber warrior with just 12 weeks of training at My Computer Career. Cybersecurity specialists are in high demand, and IT pros with these skills often enjoy abundant opportunity and a great lifestyle. Protect our people, liberty, and treasured institutions from cyber threats. SkillBridge and other VA benefits are available to those who qualify. Learn more at mycomputercareer.edu/CWP. That's mycomputercareer.edu/CWP.
Don't sweat the technique. We're back with a killer beat
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, located at East River 9.
Let's go straight out to the HRP guest line. Killer Bees being joined now by the TV voice of the Houston Astros, Todd Kallas. Conversation brought to you by Pipefitters Local 211. They do it right. TK, thank you for spending a few minutes with the Killer Bees this afternoon. Heck of a game last night, huh? Astros came out on the short side, but a well-pitched game, to say the least.
Yeah, those are some of the best. I mean, I know a lot of people like run scoring and big 10-9 games, but to me, those are the best games where every play matters, where defense matters. The Rangers played great defense last night. Astros might have had a run or two had they not caught some balls in the outfield. So just one pitch, just one swing by Jake Berger, the difference. And it was one of those games that was really intense and really exciting, and unfortunately, the Rangers came out on top.
TK, I'm curious because you guys were talking about it a little bit in the splits that DeGrom had with lefties as opposed to righties, and then only having one lefty in the lineup, and honestly, the roster construction being such where you're kind of limited with the lefties you can get in the lineup. I know Dana has kind of been asked about it this week a little bit, but is that something that the Astros fans should look at as maybe a concern going forward, their inability to kind of get a few more lefties in the lineup until Jordan gets back?
A little bit. I mean, it was never a perfect roster construction coming out of spring training with all the right-hand hitters, and certainly with Jordan being down, that makes it even more difficult. There's not a lot of guys like Jacob DeGrom, fortunately, or else the Astros would have a lot of trouble all year long. But to your point, when you go up against a pitcher like DeGrom or somebody that really has great numbers against right-hand hitters like Jacob does, then they're going to be in a little bit of trouble like they were last night. Caratini had some good swings on him, but not many other guys did. Would it have made a difference if a John Singleton was on the roster or a Luis Guillorme or, you know, Quincy Hamilton or Jacob Melton or one of those guys?
Ben Gamble.
I don't know. Ben Gamble. Ben Gamble's another guy that was in spring training. I don't know. They might still have lost 1-0, but it certainly does not. It's not an easy task when he faced a righty with a devastating slider and a 98, 99 mile an hour fastball, and he pitches right-handed.
Todd, the Astros in an interesting spot, too, with their pitching staff, going with a six-man rotation with all these games in a row. Also, a bunch of relievers who are out of minor league options. So Taylor Scott was the odd man out, got DFA'd when the Astros had to bring up Colton Gordon. I really like the point that you made the other day on the broadcast. You have a 26-man roster. It's weird that Major League Baseball limits you to just 13. Does it just make too much sense to carry 14? What's the deal here, Manfred?
What is the deal? That's my least favorite rule in baseball right now because there's injuries to pitching staff all the time. We're seeing it with every team. Nobody goes the whole season with the same five starters. No one goes the season with the same guys in the bullpen. And why you can't construct your roster the way you want to, it should be your roster to mold it the way you want to when it's 26 men. They have certain restrictions. Guys can only be called up and sent back three times now. So you can't play that option merry-go-round where guys come up for a week and go back for a week. So there are little rules in place that will allow you or that force you to really still have a solid staff. But I don't know why they won't go to 14 pitchers and 12 position players. It's beyond me.
Todd, we got Lance back on the hill tonight, and we were talking about this before we got you on. You know, in my mind, it's gone from a team that was just hopeful that at some point he could come in and help the team to a guy that they're kind of relying on now because of all the injuries to the pitching staff. And now, you know, you are hoping that there's a better performance tonight and that we're still building towards a better performances down the road. You know, you look at it and say, are they relying a little bit right now on Lance McCullers to be a lot better than he was last start?
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, he's not just the extra guy anymore. You know, Ryan Gusto's in the rotation. He had never started a big league game before. Colton Gordon had his turn in the rotation and should get another crack, I would think. And he's never had a major league start before last week. So that's two of your six. And then Lance is one of your four that has experience coming into this year. So they're definitely relying on him. We don't know when Spencer Arrighetti's going to come back. We don't know if and when Hayden Wesneski is going to come back. So until any of those guys come back, Lance is definitely going to be in the rotation, and he has to give them some innings because he hasn't been able to in the first couple. Now, was it totally unexpected that he would struggle at some point coming off 2.5 years? No, but we're 40, 45 games into the season now. So he's got to be able to produce because the Astros definitely need him.
His voice of the Astros, Todd Kalas, joining us on the HRNP guest line. You have the night off. What are you going to do anyways tonight?
Well, it's actually funny because as things work out perfectly for us, my wife works in Dallas. She travels back and forth from Houston, and she's in Dallas 3 weeks out of the month. So this is one of the weeks she was here.
Nice.
So we've been hanging out. She just got off of work, so as soon as I hang up with you, I'm going to join her for happy hour and then grab some dinner. We're going to enjoy downtown Dallas for the night.
I can imagine how that conversation went. Sweetie, sorry, I got to talk to these jabronis, the killer bees, for 30 minutes and delay our happy hour. I'm sorry, Todd.
Yeah, it's our bad.
Happy hours usually start at 4 anyhow. So
okay.
She was working right. She was working till 4 anyhow. It's all good. It's delayed by like 10 minutes back.
TK, I'm curious from a lineup perspective on two different fronts. Altuve, we were talking about, he's really starting to scuffle now. That's a guy that a lot of people are going to point to because of his age and start wondering, you know, is this the drop-off from Jose Altuve? Or is this something that's just we see and we just are spoiled in the fact we haven't seen it a lot with Altuve, that it's just one of those spurts where he's going through some stuff, he's got a little slump going on, but he'll snap out of it?
Yeah, I mean, whenever a guy gets into his mid-30s, you always have those questions when he struggles. For me, Altuve's metrics with his speed are really good. He's still running the same speed he ran in his 20s, so that looks good. But some of the under-the-hood metrics with his swing are not so good this year. And I think, you know, hopefully it's just a little run here where he hasn't been very good. He was really good the first 2 weeks, first two and a half weeks of the season, but then the last month or so, we haven't seen the Altuve we're used to. But Jose will get it figured out. I definitely don't think it's the beginning of the end yet. And he's only 35, and he's got 4 more years left on his contract. And he's going to figure it out. There's no way Jose is going to hit 250 for the year, in my opinion. But, it's definitely a trend towards a decline, but I don't think it's going to be one of those season-long slumps. I think he's just been a little bit scuffled here in the last month or so.
You know how it goes in baseball, TK. Anytime you have a struggling offense, it's switch up the lineup. The batting order doesn't work. And, you know, we probably overemphasize how much the batting order is actually significant in that sort of thing. And until Yordan comes back, I mean, the lineup is the lineup. But how, I guess, eager or how likely would it be for a spotter to try to shake things up once Yordan comes back if the offense continues to struggle?
Shake off in terms of where
just move some guys around, nothing crazy, but maybe Yordan to a 4-hole, maybe Altuve 3, you know, something little, tinkering, nothing nuts.
Yeah, it's hard because they're you're gonna keep painting one for sure. I think Joe likes Yordan hitting in the first inning, so whether it goes Altuve 2, Paredes 4, that's probably the likelier scenario, and then Christian Walker 5. But those 5 guys in Yonder Diaz, they're probably going to be in the top 6 anyhow. Jake Myers is making a bid based on what he's done for the first month and a half to get into that top 6 slot. But for the most part, you're going to see those 5-6 guys be in the top six in the lineup. And then Jake, and then whoever plays at second base, and then whoever plays between Cam and Zach would be your 7, 8, 9 guys. So I don't see much wiggle room to make a lot of changes at this point. To your point, going back to your first or second question, I do think at some point they need to find a lefty, either via trade or via the waiver wire. I think that will make the lineup a little bit better. But in terms of the current guys they have, I don't see much change making a big difference.
TK, from a positive perspective on that lineup, how about the production of one Jeremy Pena since putting the leadoff spot? It's just been remarkable to see the jump, and then the question becomes, is it sustainable because of the fact that we've seen in the past, maybe he's a guy, too, that likes the higher he is in the lineup back when he was, inserted in the two-hole. In the past, he's succeeded. But my goodness, has he exploded as a leadoff hitter.
Yeah, it's fun to watch. We saw him and Jake Myers have really good spring training to carry forward to the regular season. I do think what we saw out of Jeremy Pena the last 3 years, that he's at a completely different level now. And I think it's sustainable. And I think he's going to continue to get better. He's been in some bad luck the first few weeks. Ever since then, he's been wiped out. Will he be able to win a Silver Slugger when Bobby Witt is in the league, or even when Corey Seager is healthy in the league at shortstop? It's going to be difficult at that position. But he is one of the best shortstops in baseball right now, and he will continue to get better. I think he's going to have a monster year. I think he's going to be an all-star. I don't know if he's going to be able to win the Silver Slugger from Witt, but he's going to give it a run for sure.
Yeah, that's a good point. TK, thank you for taking a few minutes hanging out with us. Please let Mrs. Callis know that we're very sorry for delaying the happy hour. We know how great that is on a Friday.
I am looking forward to seeing her soon. Thanks, guys.
All right. Todd Callis, voice of the Astros. A great happy hour spot, by the way, East River 9. You can see Blankers, too. Make happy hour even happier as soon as you walk through the door and you see Blankers 38-inch pythons. 713-780-3777. If they brought up a lefty, Blankers, how TK mentioned, it would trade or waiver wire. And remember, they picked up a couple of lefties on the waiver wire last year, late in the year. Ben Gamel, Jason Hayward. Who would be the odd man out, you think?
I think it's a couple of things. I think maybe we do see Cam get sent down, and or maybe Chaz is part of a trade, because maybe they do Chaz a solid depending on the kind of player you get back. If it's a speed player or a player that can play some defense as well, to where you say, hey, look, if Chaz isn't going to play all the time and he had expectations to play, and maybe there's teams out there that want a guy like Chaz McCormick that would give him more regular playing time, maybe that's something that's worked out as well.
Yeah, I don't think it'd be much for Chaz, though. Like, I can't imagine he has much value, if any. But
no,
maybe like
but
a right-handed bat off
the
bench.
Something for him, and yeah.
Yeah, nothing
yeah,
major,
just,
but maybe
do
a
solid for
prospect.
Him. Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah, I could see something like, I think, I kind of went back and forth seeing the lineup yesterday. And look, Cam Smith's playing today. Pena, Altuve, Paredes. Altuve's playing second. Walker, Caratini, Yiner, DHs. And then Myers, DeZinzo, and Smith. So both DeZinzo and Cam Smith in the lineup. Whenever I saw the lineup yesterday and Victor Caratini was in it as a DH, I was like, okay, maybe there's a small chance whenever they bring Yordan back off of the IL that Cam Smith just might be the odd man out because they're using Caratini more as an offensive threat. But then I started to think it was probably more because of his good BVP versus DeGrom. Actually had a couple of homers in DeGrom back whenever he was a Cub. So they probably was more of a BVP thing than like they, have bumped Caratini over Cam Smith against righties. But I do think there is a slimmer of a possibility that Cam Smith could be the guy sent down when Yordan is back. I think the possibility probably multiplies by 10 if it's Yordan is back and they acquire a left-handed bat.
Yeah, for sure. I agree with you. I think that I don't think that should be a slam on Cam either. I think, he needs everyday at-bats. He's not getting them right now. And with DeZinzo hitting the way he's hitting, I don't know when he's going to get them again, and I don't know how they're thinking. But just from my perspective, it could be the best of both worlds. You get in a left-handed bat with some experience that you desperately need, and he gets to get every day at bats and get more seasoning, knowing darn well what he has to do at a certain point in his career when he's up there full-time again.
All right, 713-780-ESPN, HRNP, listener line. What big sporting events really aren't that big to you? Overrated or you just don't care much about? 713-780-3776. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Something that is awesome, something that is great, that is actually underrated, Two Creeks Crossing Resort on Lake Livingston. They're the best. They're fantastic. Look, it's a Friday. Don't you wish you were getting off work on Friday and heading out to the great outdoors? You could be doing that at Two Creeks Crossing Resort. Escape the rat race. Escape the hustle and the bustle. Get rid of the all the traffic in your life, all the stress and anxiety that goes on. You don't want any of that. I have the best getaway idea for you. Two Creeks Crossing Resort on Lake Livingston. escape the city, enjoy the relaxing great outdoors, book that stay now at twocreekscrossingresort.com. Doesn't even have to be a weekend stay. How about a Sunday through Thursday stay? And if you book a Sunday through Thursday stay or anything in between, you're going to save 20% off on your next two-night stay. It could be a max of 5 nights, a minimum of 2 nights, and those are on the rentals for RV sites, yurts, cabins, and tents. So go ahead, book that now, Sunday through Thursday, and save 20%. But get out there to the great outdoors, open green spaces, wildlife you don't see in the city, majestic trees that are just gorgeous. And if you like fishing, some of the best fishing in Texas. You can't beat it. And it's only 90 minutes from Houston, too. So you can escape the city without traveling too far at Two Creeks Crossing Resort on Lake Livingston. You're not wasting a half a day traveling, be a car or train or bus or plane or however you do your travel. It's a 90-minute drive. You're there in an hour and a half, and you'll be hiking their 92-acre property in no time. You'll be kayaking on their water in no time. If you like playing pickleball, they have those pickleball courts out there, too. Or just sit out by the pool and have a drink. There's nothing wrong with that either. From glamping to the cabins to the tree houses, or if you have an RV, just pull up that bad boy. They have the perfect stay for everybody. Book your stay now at twocreekscrossingresort.com. That's twocreekscrossingresort.com.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, located at East River 9. Here's the Killer Bees, Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5. What about DFAing Rodgers as the odd man out? I mean, Rodgers hasn't been great, but he might be your best offensive second baseman, though. I don't know why you would DFA Rodgers before sending down Smith.
Yeah, I don't understand it either, because you're getting Gold Glove caliber second base, and you've got options. And we talked about, like, riding the wave of, if you don't have one consistent guy that's offensively good enough to be the everyday second baseman, then, as we talked about, if Dubon gets a couple of hits one night, then play him again. And if he cools off, then you got another guy you can go to. And hopefully you brother-in-law enough that you get some guys, because Rodgers has had some timely hits early in the season, that maybe you can, you know, kind of brother-in-law together just so that you have an above-average second baseman.
Yeah, I mean, Altuve is going to be in the mix there every now and then, too. He's not
sure.
Going to play left field every day. He's not going to play second every day either. 713-780-ESPN, HRP listener line. All right, so the PGA Championship going on right now. Today, day two. And you can watch the PGA Championship out at East River 9. Killer Bees at East River 9. Blankers right there. Great spot for food. Great spot for a bite. Great spot for a drink. Great spot to watch your PGA Championship. Vegas, a two-shot lead now as a couple of golfers falling back. Vegas at 8-under. Pavin, Pavon, 6-under. Smalley, 6-under. Fitzpatrick, 6-under as well. PGA Championship is easily the fourth of the four majors. I don't think there's any argument. U.S. Open, way better. I like the Open Championship a lot better. And then obviously nothing compares to the Masters. What big sporting events really aren't that big to you? Or you think they're overrated, or other people love them and you just can't get into them? 713-780-3776. What is it for you, Blankers?
I got four of them. I got four of them that just, from me personally, they just don't do anything for me. And I know that they're, especially the last one, but I know that I'll catch hell for some of this, but it's my own personal opinion. I'm not a big fan of the Indianapolis 500. I just am not. I'm just not a big fan of auto racing. So with the Indianapolis 500, I'm also not a big fan of the Daytona 500. And everybody makes such a big deal about NASCAR. And oh, my God. And how many times I've heard, you just got to go and experience it and be in the stands once and you'll be hooked. I guarantee you I would not be hooked. It just doesn't interest me like that. The same way the Kentucky Derby doesn't do anything for me. Now, there, if you want to tell me that I could go one time and experience what they say the party is in the infield and all the different parties and things that go on with it, sure, from the sake of being able to cross that off the bucket list, okay. But the horse racing thing to me is also something that I'm not very big on. And the last one, and I know it's coming to Houston, and I know Glenn Davis tells me all the time how much soccer matters, and as long as I've known him, I'm not a soccer fan.
Oh.
The World Cup to me, I watched the World Cup. I pull for the United States, but at the same time, I've never been a soccer aficionado, and I'm not a fan of soccer. So to me, the World Cup is not something where I'm going to say, I'm going to sit down and I'm going to watch this big World Cup match.
Glenn's going to start calling you that P word.
Yeah, well, he already calls me one. Hopefully it stays that one and not any others.
He's going to stop calling you a panzón because of your soccer take.
Paisan, yes. Well, yeah.
I know. I like the Derby. I like the first leg of the Triple Crown because it gets it all started. And, like, there is intrigue to me of, like, a horse winning the Triple Crown. Like, it's kind of cool. Plus, it doesn't take forever. Like, if you time it just right, it takes 2.5 minutes and it's over. So, like,
that's what I was going to say. The one good thing about it is only you can blink and about in 2 minutes it's over. I'm good. But that the freaking Daytona 500, give me a break.
No, I don't like any auto racing. If I was forced to watch an auto race, I would do F1 before the two that you listed. But I would probably do Daytona before Indy, even though Indy has, like, more prestige and mystique. But it's also not as popular as NASCAR, and it's not nearly as popular as F1, which is, like, IndyCar. Like, name me three IndyCar drivers. You can't. I can name you some F1 drivers. I can name you some NASCAR drivers. I couldn't name you one IndyCar driver. Not one. Not one. Not a single one. So I
not one. Not one. Not one. IndyCar driver, you said, or NASCAR driver?
IndyCar.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
NASCAR, well, I can name a few. They might be retired, but, like, Harwick is one. I know Dale Earnhardt Jr. is retired. Tony Stewart killed a guy. Maybe I can't name as many as I thought. Who is that
Kyle
one
Busch.
Dude? Bubba?
Yeah.
Kyle Busch. Like, I can name a few NASCAR ones. F1 I can name probably more than NASCAR. Lewis Hamilton, little Max Verstappen. What's that? Gasly? Pierre Gasly or whatever?
You could have said any
Sainz,
name right
Carlos
there, and
Sainz.
I'd have gone, oh, okay, yeah.
Carlos Sainz, Lando Norris. Like, I can name a few F1 guys. But I can't get into the races. I just know those guys because of the Netflix show. I like the Netflix show quite a bit. I've watched every single one of the Drive to Survives, but I try to watch a race, and I can't do it. So I'm with you on the car racing. I do like the Kentucky Derby. The other two, I watch the Preakness if, like, you know, I watch the Preakness to see if the Kentucky Derby winner wins.
Right.
But this year, the Kentucky Derby dude's not even running in the Preakness. Like, these athletes have gotten so soft these days, the Kentucky Derby winner's not even running in the Preakness, these soft athletes. And then the Belmont is, I don't even watch the Belmont if there's two different winners in the Kentucky and the Preakness. So I'll go Belmont there, unless there's a horse running for the Triple Crown. Any auto racing, I'm with you on that. I knocked the PGA Championship, but I'll still watch it. Like, it's still very fun
me
to
too.
Me.
Yeah.
How about tennis majors? Grand Slams.
I enjoy them. I mean, I watch the finals for sure, but there'll be selective times if I'm flipping channels. But with the U.S. Open, I think it's a great venue for it. I think Wimbledon, you know, with the prestige of that and even the French Open, I'll watch that.
I can't remember the last time I watched a tennis Grand Slam final. It used to be appointment television for me. Like, the days of Federer, like, whenever he was still around. I remember watching as a young kid, Agassi, Sampras, all those people. And then there's been some really good, like, women's tennis players, too. Like, Serena was intriguing and all that. It's probably been 5 years since I've watched a Grand Slam final. And I used to watch every single one like clockwork.
Well, you had Alcaraz against
Didn't watch it.
No, there's been some good matches, but I'm with you in the Federer era and you know, some of the eras of the past I probably watched more. But, yeah, there's still tennis that I'll watch.
All right, 713-780-ESPN, HRMP listener line, 713-780-3776. What are those events to you that are just overrated? They don't do it for you. They do it for other people, but not you. 713-780-3776. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Something that does it for me is Monument Chevrolet. They are the best dealership out there in a variety of different ways. First off, buying a car for them, right? If you're in the market for a new vehicle, then you need to get it from Monument Chevrolet. They're the dealer that you can trust. They're transparent. They have no hassle pricing. And you don't feel like they're pulling a fast one on you. You know what you're getting. They're very honest. They're very transparent, and that's very important when you're buying your vehicle. They're also really good on the maintenance side of things, too. You know, these dealerships, most places, their maintenance team, awful. They're the worst. They're awful. They're so bad. Not the case in Monument Chevrolet. Their service staff is fantastic. Their service is off the charts. But Monument Chevrolet has been serving the Houston area for about 5 decades. They've helped generations of families get into new vehicles, and these families keep coming back to Monument Chevrolet because they trust Monument Chevrolet. It's a family feel, friendly atmosphere. The culture there is fantastic. They hire good people, so the culture just stays good. Get a fair deal, a fast deal, an easy deal without wasting your time in these aggravating, stressful negotiations. Monument Chevrolet is the place for you to buy your next vehicle. Also, their dealership out there at 225 in Bellway, it's massive. They have their own street names. Their property's so big. So they have a huge, huge inventory. You can check out that inventory online as well, monumentchevrolet.com. But visit them in person at 225 in Beltway 8. Chevrolet, together, let's drive.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
We're taking a break.
Okay. That's cool.
Let's hydrate. Grab a Rambler Sparkling Water, the official sparkling water of ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. A Texas mineral blend available in original lemon, lime, grapefruit, satsuma, blackberry, and now wild cherry. Get Ramblin', Houston.
Hello, I'm Lisa Holland-Nelson.
And I'm Shivana Rabashriver.
And we are so excited to be bringing you Culture Club HTX every Sunday morning from 8 to 9 on ESPN Radio 97.5 and 92.5. Our show is about
sports, community, fashion, and of course business, and all the things that make Houston the heartbeat of Texas.
Our community. That's our favorite, right?
That's one of my most favorite. So every Sunday, 8 a.m., ESPN Radio 92.5 and 97.5. We can't wait for you to tune in.
With Progressive, renters can save on protection for the things that make your place yours. Even things that don't make sense to everyone.
People always wonder why I don't get rid of my guitar since I never play. But it's like, what if I actually end up taking lessons? Sure, I've had it for 8 years, but if I get rid of it, then what will my New Year's resolution be next January?
Exactly. So bundle your renters and auto and save with Progressive and protect the things that make sense to you. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates and other insurers not available in all states or situations covered subject to policy terms and conditions.
Huge news. Right now at Wendy's, you can get a Son of Baconator for just $3. I don't think you understand this situation. The Son of Baconator is only $3 for a limited time. You know, smoked bacon, rich melted cheese. That Son of Baconator is only $3. Thank you to whoever wished upon that star. For bacon that just won't quit, gotta be Wendy's.
U.S. price and participation may vary. Prices may be higher in Alaska and Hawaii, not valid on a combo or in third-party delivery platforms.
Chill out with Inside the Icebox, your go-to Astros podcast for deep dives, hot takes, and bold predictions. Join Joe George and Jeremy Branham Thursdays at 6 on ESPN 97.5 or on our YouTube channel, ESPN Houston, powered by Blue Star Tequila. Smooth and always game ready.
The best in Houston sports talk is ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. You're back with the Killer Bees
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, located at East River 9.
East River 9, the spot to be. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5. Brock Purdy finalizing a five-year, $265 million contract. $53 million per year for Brock Purdy.
That's a little higher than I thought that the Niners would go. I mean, we talked about his stats being worthy. I just thought that this was that kind of line in the sand, and with Shanahan and all their expectations with how he likes to run an offense, that they were going to lowball him. But I guess it's enough to get it done. I was a little surprised he got a five at the front of it.
It's the price of doing business in the NFL. You have a quarterback you feel like you can win with. You got to give him pretty close to the going rate. Going rate over $50 million. So $53 million for Brock Purdy. That's pricey. All right, that checks off $1 for the bosses.
Oh, for football, right. Yeah.
Sporting events that you think are overrated that other people love and you just don't. Somebody said cornhole tournament. See, people don't love cornhole tournaments. You can't overrate a cornhole tournament because they're not rated that high.
Nope.
Like that's a bad answer there.
I know one, the Olympics. Some people love them. Some people can't stand to spend the time watching
them. You don't like
them.
The Olympics?
I love them. I'm not saying for me personally. I know people that have said, I can't stand watching the Olympics. It's just, aside from the patriotism, there's a lot of people that are just like, I just can't stand watching it. I'm like, I really enjoy them.
Yeah, this guy says the Olympics here. There's a handful of events that I'll tune into, but most of it is just random filler sports that nobody follows consistently. It is that, but it's still fun because it's country.
Yeah,
I watch curling. I watch the heck out of some curling. Well, you know I do. I love me some curling. Huge curling fan. Cricket World Cup. See, Cricket World Cup's not popular in America. Like that's another. That's it's not overrated.
Certain areas of America.
What?
Certain areas of America.
No, that's not true.
I'm just telling you, out where I live, there's a bunch of people that love cricket.
There's a lot of people in your neck of the woods that are watching Cricket World Cup.
Oh yeah,
popular
and they go
in
to this new. I'm just saying, I'm not saying all across America. I said there's certain areas, like out Fort Bend County way, and there's also like cricket fields and everything like that that they've just opened up. That's like almost like pickleball courts, but they have these cricket fields. They are extremely popular.
For a very small collection of people.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's not like sweeping the nation or anything.
That's where the small collection of people congregate. That doesn't make it popular.
Okay, I just said with certain people, it's still popular.
The Piston Cup clears the Indy 500. You know what the Piston Cup is?
Have no idea.
Piston Cup is the race where the Lightning McQueen races in cars.
Yeah, I have no clue what the hell that is.
It's, I just told you. You don't know who Lightning McQueen is?
No.
Lightning McQueen's the main character in the movie Cars.
I didn't see the movie.
Wins the Piston Cup.
I didn't see the movie.
I can't believe you with kids have not seen Cars.
My daughters don't like car racing, cartoons.
Oh, okay. From Rackham Pete, I don't like NASCAR. If I want to see cars go round and round and find a spot on the 610 looping watch. Okay, Jim Rome.
That's pretty good. I like it.
That was the whole Jim Rome thing. Jim Rome, NASCAR, they never take a right turn. Not a fan of NASCAR, but I definitely would watch F1. F1's far superior than NASCAR. I don't even think it's close. Agree with Joe on all fronts, but I stopped watching NASCAR after Dale Earnhardt's accident. That was terribly sad. College Baseball World Series, says somebody. Boring. Okay, texter, you're banned for the rest of the show. You can no longer text in for the rest of the week. Ryder Cup and President's Cup. I don't get into the President's Cup.
Oh, stop it.
I don't get into the President's Cup.
I like the both. I really like the Ryder Cup, but I will watch the President's Cup.
Yeah, I'll watch it. Like, if I'm home, there's nothing else on, but I don't make it a point to watch President's Cup. Like, Ryder Cup, I make it a point to watch. I miss very little of the Ryder Cup. I watch very little of the President's Cup.
I know one for you that you're missing out on, that you left off. The Little League World Series. You hate that thing.
Yeah, I do. It's weird. It's kind of creepy, too. You have grown men watching these, like, 12-year-olds play baseball, and they can't lead off. It's weird. It's not real baseball.
I remember how adamant you are on that one.
The umpires don't get paid either. Like, they're ripping them off. Like, they're exploiting cheap labor. They're exploiting free labor is what they're doing at Little League World Series. I can't stand Little League World Series. It's so bad.
They do pay their expenses, though, right? They fly them in and put them up and everything?
Sure. Maybe, but they don't pay them to do the games.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. And then ESPN sells all these corporate sponsors. You can't even play the umpire a little game right? Come on now.
That's pretty brutal.
It's corruption.
Yeah, because it is. That's like it's a very NCAA-ish thing to do, to just rake in the money and then get cheap as hell on everything after the fact that you're raking in oodles of dollars.
I also hate that they don't lead off. That's not real baseball. Pony clears Little League Baseball. Pony baseball is better than Little League Baseball by a mile.
Wait, you can lead off after the ball leaves the pitcher's hand.
That's not leading off. That's getting a secondary lead. That's getting an extension.
It's still a lead. It's still a form of leadoff.
No, it's not.
You can't be running on these. You can't be running on these young kids.
How old are Little League baseball players? Like the ones that we watch on TV.
1,200.
Pony baseball, you lead off at like 9. Lisa Legball's around town. Like, when do they start coach? As soon as they start coach pitch, you can lead off. They probably start coach pitch what, around 8, 9 years old? Maybe, I don't know.
Yeah, but Legball's not for Little League.
I know. That's why it's less. That's why it's the inferior sport. Why could you lead off for a select ball 8 under, but you can't lead off at 12 under Little League ball? It's cheap. It's a bad brand.
Okay.
For real. I'm being dead serious.
I know, but I'm saying sometimes you also have to realize that they're at those ages, we're not looking.
Why can you do it at 8 under in select ball, but you can't do it at 12 under in Little League?
I don't know where there's 8 under select ball where you can run on every – you can lead off. I've never heard that. If you tell me that's the case,
entire city of Houston, other than like West U,
they're doing it at 8.
How old is kid pitch in pony ball or just select ball? 713-780 ESPN.
Pony ball's older, isn't it? Isn't
Pony's
it like
the
right after Little League?
Pony's the level, but it goes like pony, bronco, Mustang, and in Mustang in Mustang. Pinto is the last year of machine pitch. And then Mustang is the first year of kid pitch. And I want to say it's like 8 years old. And they
you're
lead
gonna
off
the locals to the locals got to explain that one to you and me because I have no clue because I've never heard any of that you just said.
Yeah, the uniforms and equipment are paid for. Select ball can lead off after coach pitch. Yeah, that's my point. What is the age of that though? Like, I don't understand why you can't lead off in Little League. Oh, because they're they're 12. Like every other sport of baseball other than Little League, you lead off. It's not real baseball.
But they're saying lead off as like before the pitcher pitches the ball.
Yes, like normal baseball.
They can lead off, and the pitchers have to learn how to pitch from the stretch.
Yes.
Okay.
Like real baseball.
That's news to me. That's news to me.
Yeah, 9 under for kid pitch, says all of our textures here. Like, why can we lead off at 9 under in every other brand, but Little League Baseball at 12, they're not leading off? They're teaching these kids to, like, not learn the game. And here's another harsh reality for Little League. These Little Leagues will recruit select ball players who are already playing with the other brand of rules where they lead off. It's absurd. I can't stand Little League Baseball. Little League Baseball is the inferior brand by a mile. I don't know why it's so popular. My son's in a 9-10 Little League, and they lead off. Good. Good for you. They're teaching them real baseball. As Texture says, I don't care for water parks. That's not what we're talking about. Sporting events.
No, where'd that come from?
For you. Oh, yeah, and you can't even get a lead, Texture says, until it crosses the plate in Little League. You can't leave the base till it crosses the plate. It's softball is what it is.
Really?
Yeah.
I thought it was
so
when it left
bad.
The pitcher's hand. Like, my daughter's playing 10U softball, and you get a lead as soon as the ball leaves the pitcher's hand.
Yeah.
And you can steal it anytime.
But that's also the real sport in softball. Like, softball and college baseball, you can't lead till it's released out of the hand.
Right.
There's no lead like that. So they're teaching them the actual rule of the sport. In baseball, they're 12 under in Little League, and they're not even taking leads. It's so dumb to me. A texter saying, would you rather watch the NFL playoffs or March Madness? Give me March Madness.
Ooh, boy. I'm going to go NFL playoffs.
Phillip 68, love me some F1. No wonder they like cricket here. Any Jake Paul fight? Good call on that. Jake Paul fights are terrible.
Yeah, they are. I see they've scripted another one coming up in the very near future.
Yeah, with Julio Cesar Chavez Jr. I feel so bad for Julio Cesar Chavez Sr. that he has to watch his failure of a kid fight Jake Paul. It makes me sick, actually. I don't want to.
And then part
about
of the script is Jake Paul gets into it with Sr.
I know.
At the press conference. Come on, man.
Yeah, it's very sad. Any F1 race is overrated. I love to fish, but I am not all interested in watching competitive fishing. With that said, y'all remember a couple of years ago when they caught the guys cheating by putting weights in fish? Yeah, I do. That was funny. We had a commercial.
We used it in a promo. Before. Yeah, we sure did.
Weights and fish. I don't think competitive fishing is popular, though.
No.
Like, no one's watching that.
Most guys would rather be on the boat fishing than watch it on TV.
Exactly. International soccer is solid. Boring events include IndyCar, NBA All-Star Game, any girls' sports besides gymnastics. Ooh, it's a little sexist.
I'm going to disagree with that, especially with the passion that my daughter has for softball.
But do y'all don't watch softball, though, do y'all?
Oh, yes, she does. She watches it every day, and I'll watch it with her.
Well, you just turn
to be
on
honest with you,
and put on a softball game.
She knows where to find it now because they're leading up to their version of the College World Series and all that.
Yeah.
She's watching it, and then a lot of times I'll use it as a teaching tool. If there's things that I can't get her to kind of understand or focus on from a hitting or throwing or pitching perspective, she'll put it on. I'll go, now watch so and so, and watch what this girl's doing. The way she's doing this is the way you need to, and she'll be able to learn from it.
Okay, Earl Woods.
Damn right.
So does she have a team that she follows? Or
she likes SEC softball. And because her coach played at A&M,
and her
coach takes her back to A&M, and they get on the field, and they're like the honorary team, and they're on the scoreboard, and they get all this fun stuff. She scares me in the fact that she really likes watching A&M. And when A&M's the number one team in the country, I think, right now.
And if she goes to A&M, she can't be a cheerleader. So you have that going for you.
Oh, boy.
It's true.
No, I know. I think that would please Lisa.
Yeah. She could go to Midnight Yell, though, and learn all those weird chants.
No, and the bonfire thing and all that. Okay, we'll deal with that when we have to.
They do this instead of booing. If the horse doesn't have a chance for the Triple Crown, the Belmont Stakes doesn't mean anything. It facts. Bowl games in college football before the playoffs. That's a good call.
The bowl game's
been watered down, which is fine. Just get rid of the bowl games. Don't care for soccer, says Zach. NASCAR and Kentucky Derby. The easiest answer is the Olympics. World Series of Poker is trash. You hear me, Granato? That's kind of lost steam, though. Like, World Series of Poker isn't as big as it used to be.
No, there was a short window of time when it was really, really a thing. The bracelet and the whole, and everybody knew a lot of the players. And, yeah, I think it is watered down.
The Chris Moneymaker kind of popularized it. My buddy won the World Series of Poker, though, Johnny Tamayo.
I remember that. Yeah, I remember that.
And more of an acquaintance. I wouldn't call him a buddy. He's not cool enough to hang out with me. He is now, though. Texter, it sucks as an umpire that does both. Talking about Little League. They don't allow leadoff in Little League because the base pass are too short. Would make stealing bases way too easy. Well, then extend the base pass. If you can do it at 8-under in a different league, you should be able to do it at 12-under in Little League. Make the field bigger. Let them learn the game.
Isn't the proper answer to teach your pitcher a pickoff move? And if they're going to get a big lead, you pick them off?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. That's why Little League sucks. Little League's not baseball. It's some weird gimmicky thing that
people
like.
It's still fun for me to watch. I have no problem watching it.
9-10 can lead off, but they can't steal until the catcher catches the ball from the pitcher. Little League is for show. 9-under they can start. Pony League is 14-15-year-olds. Okay. Yeah, those people are just bashing Little League, which is fine by me. Bunch of creeps.
I was going to say, you got your people lined up for that one.
I did. Yeah, people don't like Little League baseball. Kind of creepy. All right, 713-780-ESP. We didn't get to Bad Take Boulevard yesterday, so let's get to Bad Take Boulevard today. What makes the list this week is the worst takes of the week. 713-780-3776. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Time to welcome some new takes.
Right this way.
To Bad Take Boulevard.
If only there was something in your head to control the things you say.
It's the dumbest argument ever.
With the Killer Bees.
Can I just say that I'm an idiot for listening to you?
What belongs on Bad Take Boulevard this week? 713-780-3776. How about Little League Baseball? Bad Take Boulevard. A texture, I feel like the stretch.
God, I created the monster again.
It is. I do get my soapboxes. I understand that the reason is so they don't have to work in the stretch and they avoid box. But it's not teaching the game. And they're 12 years old. Like, they're a few years away from playing high school ball. It's bad for their development.
But don't you also have to factor in, I think you have to factor in terms of their development. Like, sometimes there's just it's system overload. At that point, at the younger ages, you're trying to get them to just do fundamental things like how they catch and field and throw.
You're underrating the 12-year-old baseball player. Like, go watch the best 12.
Well, down here, you're right.
But these look, trying to portray these little leaguers as the best 12-year-olds in the country, and it's not even close. The best 12U team in Houston would mop the floor with all these little league baseball teams in Williamsport, and also they're learning the game to play it the right way by having the stretch, by having leadoffs, by working on pickoffs. And all these 12-year-olds that are good can do it. Like, you learn the fundamentals when you're 6, not when you're 12. Most kids in the Little League don't pitch in the stretch.
But I think that it's also because of the fact that the majority of the different states and the different cities that play, the only option you have in a lot of different areas of the country is Little League. They don't have the select like they have down here.
Move to Texas if you really want to, you know, be a baller. Move down to Texas, play the game. Or Cali or Florida or Arizona, there's spots. Quote of the day, Little League sucks. It does. All right, Bad Take Boulevard, worst takes of the week. Todd the Show makes the list. He said that Yao is the most overrated player in Houston sports history. Todd, go back to San Francisco or New York or Piscataway or wherever you're from. Back to one of these places where, you know, they don't know ball and you'll fit in, Todd the Show.
Yeah, that's annoying to me. And when you first mentioned that to me, I was like, you've got to be kidding with all the busts that we've seen come through this city in different sports. You're going to tell me it's Yao? And no, stop.
No way. Not the most overrated.
Short of an injury, that dude's player. Touch for his size and what he was still able to do when he was playing well for the Rockets, that's a ridiculous take.
Yeah.
You just made the list.
Is Steve Francis not more overrated than, or a bigger bust overrated overall than
no.
Yao?
Francis was good while
then
he was.
Then Yao, I'm saying of the two. But I'm saying of the two, who would be a bigger bust?
Kenyon Green?
Tony Boselli? That wasn't one of the options.
Francis of the two. Of the two, Francis.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
So I'm just doing that to say, look, if we can answer it that way, then Yao's definitely already not the biggest. But that's ridiculous.
Yeah. So Todd the Show made the list, as we said. Moving on, Bad Take Boulevard. How about the jabroni the other day, pulling the car the wrong way on 610, which backed up traffic, lots of damage, all of that. Know how to pull a car a little bit. If you're going to pull a car, you better know how to pull a car, right?
That whole thing was a bleep show, and I don't know what the hell went into it for how the car – you're pulling the car from the back bumper, not the front bumper, and then you're having a blast while you're swinging that thing around behind you, just playing, bumper cars with the wall, the guardrail, the other cars. It was ridiculous.
That was nuts, man. Can Joe George be on Bad Take Boulevard? Yeah, he can be on Bad Take Boulevard, but you have to tell us what he said that put him on Bad Take Boulevard.
Forced football.
I can't think of anything bad he said. What's that?
No, he should be on for forcing football.
Yeah, Yeah, it wasn't his take. He's just kind of the messenger. But, yeah, I'm good with it. Tell Kevin Cato we want our money back. Yeah, I mean, how's Yao not more overrated than Kelvin Cato? Todd the show.
For sure.
Texter puts me on Bad Take Boulevard for trying to bully you with betting and then getting defensive yesterday when Blankers tried to do the same. I wasn't getting defensive yesterday. I just said I wasn't going to give away free value. That's it. I'll bet it what I was going to say. I'm just not giving away value.
You got a little defensive.
No, I'm just saying I'm not going to bet give away value. I'd be happy to bet it, so I can't be defensive. I'm just saying I'm not going to trade away free value. I'm not going to bet you even money on 13 wins whenever I can get even money at 9.5. That's not
you
defensive.
Are
it's foolish.
So you're getting a little defensive.
It's not defensive. But, it's foolish.
Okay. I don't want to bore the listener with more of this. So we're good.
I don't know if it's boring.
Okay.
You know, we make the list for not asking Todd Callis about Wisniewski.
I did think about it. Yeah, I thought about it, and then he kind of touched on it. But the way he touched on it was like, we don't know. I'm like, we think. I'm like, okay, I'm not going
to
do it.
That's the thing, too, is like there wasn't going to be an answer there. Like, we don't know yet. We're waiting to hear back. You know what I mean? Like, that question was not going to bear fruit.
Plus, what's the benefit for us when we enjoy having him on the show? He's on the show every week, and we run the risk of him not being on the show if he gets upset about it. I'm not. There's more value in having him on every week than asking that question.
Yeah, he wasn't mad at us. That's good.
Yeah,
I was a little worried. David Carr, the biggest bust in Houston history, says a couple of texts. That's a good point. Number one pick, never did anything. They also didn't put him in a position to have any success. But yeah, that's a fair one. They should have drafted Julius Peppers. Off forever. I'll go down with that take. Blankers makes Bad Take Boulevard for not knowing who Lightning McQueen is and hasn't seen the Cars movies.
Okay, that's why I make the list. Put me there. My daughters don't watch that, so there it is. There's that. I'm not going to seek it out and go, you know what? That's a movie I haven't seen before.
Who was the wrecker in Cars? It was voiced by Larry the Cable Guy. Was it Toby?
Again, I'm not going to help you.
I think
you.
It was Mater. Pretty sure it was Mater. It was Larry. Mater was my favorite character on Cars. My Brandon baby loves Cars, so I've seen a lot of Cars recently. I think it's Mater. Draymond Green. Draymond Green had this take when they acquired Jimmy Butler. Here, listen to Draymond Green. Draymond Green's guaranteed that they're going to win the championship.
We're going to win the championship.
Say that one more time so that everybody hears it.
Say that with your chest.
I didn't hear you. My earpiece.
Because they added Jimmy Butler the third. So what did you say?
81.
I'm sorry. I said I think we're going to win a championship, but I lied. We are going to win the championship.
Wow. There we go. Draymond Green.
The first wow sounded like he was doing the Texans.
You just made the list.
How many of those people did you know?
A few, but yeah. I did have to kind of like look at the credits to figure out who a lot of them were.
Oh, there were credits? I didn't see that. I knew like
well,
three
like,
or four.
Like if you go back and look at how it's listed on YouTube, it lists everybody that makes a cameo. Yeah, and I'm going, yeah, I wouldn't know half of these people.
I mean, I knew Bun B.
Dennis Quaid.
Dennis Quaid. He's a Cougar. Go Cougs. Jonathan yep. Joseph. Trapp was yep. on there. I saw
Trapp.
Trapp
was. Yep. Saw him. Yep.
Who'd you say?
I said Trap was. Yep,
oh,
I saw him.
Who else was? I didn't know any of the ladies that were on there.
Was I didn't either.
Owen Daniels on there with Trap?
Yes, he was.
Okay.
OD was on there. Yep.
Yeah. Who else was on there?
Paul Wall.
Paul Wall was on
yep.
there.
Yep. Paul
I think
Wall
that might
was
be all
there.
That I knew that I saw on there.
Yeah, I don't know if they used the whole podcasters and social influencers and stuff, but yeah, there were several that I was like, I have no idea who that is.
Same. The ESPN panel picking the Cavs-Pacers series. They had 13 panelists, Tim McMahon, Kevin Pelton, Ramona Shelburne, Andre Snellings, Jorge Sedano, Jerry Bimbry, Dave McMiniman, Jamal Collier, Chris Herring, Mark Spears, Jeremy Woo, Tim Bontemps, and Om Young Masuk. They all picked the Cavs to win the series. All 13 of them picked the Cavs to win the series. So all 13 of you, you made the list. They did not win the series.
You just made the list!
Isn't that crazy? Not one.
That, I that is a little bit surprising to me because the Pacers were there last year, and the Pacers are healthy, and the Pacers should have a fighting chance to at least get garnish a few votes.
That Tyrese Halliburton being overrated thing starting to
well, is
he
killing people
too.
On that? That's fun to watch. Yeah,
that
whole revenge tour has been that's worth it all in itself. His old man drove me nuts, but what he's doing is great.
The last one here, Texans, they had their rookie minicamp the other day. And whenever, you know, they have a rookie minicamp, they have a roster, these guys are wearing this. And then they also list the coaches on the roster. They did not remove Charlie Strouser, who was last year's offensive line coach. The rookie minicamp roster listed Charlie Strouser as the offensive line coach. The infamous Charlie Strouser still listed. So Houston Texans, whoever did that, they make the list.
Did they call him
you
Charlie?
Just made the list!
What else would they have called him?
Isn't his name Chris?
I don't remember. I thought it was Charlie.
I thought it was Chris Strouser. I'm looking it up.
Yeah, you might be right. So maybe I made the list for writing Charlie. No, it is Chris Strouser. Yep.
Yeah.
They called him Chris. I wrote Charles. So I make the list.
Oh, gotcha.
Too,
gotcha.
Right up there with Texans.
Didn't we have another caller or another texter, someone that we were all like, oh, my God. Aside from Todd, I thought there was someone else that we were like.
Yeah, I remember it. I remember what you're talking about, but I couldn't remember the take.
Yeah, I was trying to remember, too, because when we were going to do it yesterday, I was like, wait a minute, we're missing one. I know there was one during the course of the show. And then the one you missed yesterday was Tyler and Conroe's call, or maybe you were, when he called himself the man, the myth, the legend, and got crushed in car wreck of the day.
That's right. I forgot about that. That's not a bad take, though. We don't know if he's the man, myth, or legend.
Well, he also followed up and said I hung up on him because I criticized his take. And I was like, that's not how this works. I don't hang up on anybody. And once you give us your take, I'm allowed to rebuttal it.
How about the so-called fans making death threats to Lance McCullers? We don't know who did that, so like, why are we throwing the Astro fans under the bus? It could have been a scorned better in Vermont.
Yeah,
we don't know if it was an Astro fan or not.
Yeah, some guy named Myron that lives in his grandma's basement that's not even a baseball fan.
Yeah, but we can put whoever sent the death threat on the list, but I'm not going to say it was Astro fan. I'll say
you just made the list!
My wife makes Bad Take Boulevard for not wanting to grill steaks and lobsters tonight. We're having grilled pork loins instead. That is a bad take.
Oh, that's awful.
7308, Miss 7308, Mrs. 7308, you make the list. That is a bad take. My sister makes the list, too. She runs, like, a newsletter thing, and she misspelled her name on her own newsletter that she edited.
You just made the list!
So, Branham's sister, you made the list.
Well, you all live right. Up to the fact that no one is immune from being on the list.
No one's immune. Blind Willie makes the list from time to time because he couldn't see who was pitching. He couldn't see the arm.
Not touching. Nope.
He couldn't. Made the list. Just,
that's all you, brother.
Thought
you
a pitcher was right-handed when they were left-handed.
You keep going to that well. I'm staying away from it.
All right. That does it for me. I'm out of here. You're cool with that, right?
Yeah.
Blankers and Age will take you the rest of the way. Blankers going to talk about this Caleb Williams story. And how would you feel if C.J. Stroud came out that he didn't want to be a Texan? Blankers will discuss that next. Take you for the final hour. Have a great weekend, Blankers. Have a great weekend. Hi, Blanks and AJ when we return. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
Military veterans and active duty service members, you could become a certified cyber warrior with just 12 weeks of training at My Computer Career. Cybersecurity specialists are in high demand, and IT pros with these skills often enjoy abundant opportunity and a great lifestyle. Protect our people, liberty, and treasured institutions from cyber threats. SkillBridge and other VA benefits are available to those who qualify. Learn more at mycomputercareer.edu/CWP. That's mycomputercareer.edu/CWP.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.